We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
I want to ask you to do a couple of things this morning as we prepare for the message today. First of all, go to Acts chapter 2, all right? Acts chapter 2, that's where we're going to be in God's Word. We're going to be there in a little bit, though. We're not going to get there right out of the gate, all right? I got some other things we're going to do this morning. And if you're a guest today, we already welcomed you, but I want to let you know today's service will be a little bit different. I'm starting a brand new series next week, all right? And so you say, what is it? Well, when you come next week, you'll know, all right? So I don't want to spoil that. I might talk a little bit about it at the end of today, but I am starting a brand new series next week. Today's going to be a little bit different. We're going to go back and kind of wrap up a two-part series called Continuing in the Work of God. And today is an exciting day because turn in your something very special today. We are going to just take a minute, and you don't need to turn in your report. You should have been given one of these when you came in. And I'm not really going to reference this. This thing is extremely self-explanatory. It kind of goes over and gives you a snapshot. There's a little greeting in the front of it. And then as you read through this, you will get a chance to kind of look at this. And we want to just say glory to God for all that has happened this year. Amen. My heart is thrilled. I am humbled what we have been a part of. This annual report is a picture of what our church has been able to accomplish for His glory. And I was sharing with our staff this week on Saturday that we all share in the victory, but God gets all the glory. Say amen to that. All right. We all share in the victory, but we give God all of the glory. I want to especially thank this morning a couple of folks who have made this happen. First of all, I want to thank Linda Helm. Where are you, Linda? Are you in here? She's right here. Can we thank her? Much of what you see here came across her desk. Hours and hours and hours. We have a lot of loving names for Linda, the receipt Nazi. We have lots of wonderful names for Linda, but she is the lady who dots the I's, crosses the T's, and she really makes sure this thing looks right. And then, of course, I want to thank for all of the graphic arts, last minute second changes, and the guy who really makes this thing look really pretty, Steve Mindrup. Can we thank him? He's a guy who kind of puts this together every year, pulls all this up, gets us looking right. And then, of course, none of this would really happen without the direct oversight and labor-intensive work of one of our pastors. And you know him well. Can we give Pastor Micah a big hand? He's the guy making this happen. Their diligence, their attention to detail. I just want you to know as a church that you have a great staff here. I don't know if you know that. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the staff that serves with me. And I'm talking about the people that are serving outside of these walls right now. And I feel privileged to serve and co-labor with some of the most wonderful people who love Jesus, who want to see His kingdom advance. And I'm grateful for their high, high level of dedication and service that they display. This report that you have is something that we pray so much to give God about changing it and just calling it a praise report rather than an annual report, because there's so much to give God glory for in this. And I hope that you'll take some time and go over it. Everything's in there about our church this year as best as we could give it in snapshot form. And I like what the report says in Psalm 118, verse 23. It says, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Amen. Now, there are a lot of figures, a lot of charts that help us as a church see where we've come from, what we have accomplished, and where we are headed. And it also shows us opportunities where we can improve and things where we can grow in. As we know, and if you remember, several of you were here, lots of you were here when we were moving into this facility, there was a phrase that we were using all the time, and that is, "It's not done yet." Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's not done yet," all right? God's work is not done. Did the rapture happen this week? All right, so guess what? We still have work to do. Say amen, okay? That's why this whole thing is called continuing. We still have things to do. Now, church, the reality is that while this report is outstanding, we cannot afford to sit back and take our ease. We cannot sit back and go, well, look around. I mean, it's 9:30. It's full here. The balcony's pretty full. Amen, balcony. All right. So, you know, we can look around and go, well, there's nothing left to do. We're all done. Oh, no, we're not. Okay. We're far from finished. We can't afford to sit back and sort of coast. In fact, we have to do the opposite. We have to press ahead with even greater dedication and determination. And while we rejoice, and we have a lot to rejoice about, I want to challenge us and warn us to remember, listen up, church, that we have a real enemy. And he's not the person alongside of you. He's not your last church. It's not your ex-husband or ex-wife. It's not who the enemy is. The enemy is the devil, all right? The enemy is Satan. And he is going to do something. Let me tell you what he's not going to do. He is not going to sit by idly and watch what is happening around here and go, "Oh, wow, great job. Let's see how long they can keep this going." That's not his M.O. The devil does one angle to accomplish who he can attack, and attack he will. And he will do that from every angle to accomplish his mission, whether it's through trying to wreak havoc in our homes, or whether it's going after the unity of our church through gossip, false assumption, rumors, misunderstandings, any angle that he can to derail what is happening here at this church. And church, I would remind us, we can't let that happen. Amen. I have shared with you before my heart many times on the statistics of churches that are dying and closing. This came crashing home to me recently. As many of you know, I was out of town 2 weeks ago. We went up to Kentucky. Anybody from Kentucky? We're going to pray for these folks. My in-laws are there. Angela's parents and her family is up there. And I will say it was beautiful. There are parts of Kentucky that are just gorgeous. One evening, we were headed over to Angela's aunt's house. We were going there for dinner. They live about 20 minutes outside of Bowling Green, Kentucky. Does anybody know where that's at? And we were headed to their house. Now, we're talking the heart of the Bible Belt. We're talking where I lost count of about 18 churches as we were driving down the road. After about an hour, I just kept counting church after church after church after church. I mean, everywhere you looked, there was a church, there was a steeple. We're talking about a place where in an hour and a half's drive from where we were, you would be arriving on the doorsteps of one of the greatest seminaries that our country has, where some great godly men are being produced for the kingdom. We're not talking about some foreign country that hasn't heard the gospel. We're not talking about some part of America that's hardened. And we're talking about the Bible Belt, all right? We're driving to her house, having a conversation. We're coming up over this hill. And to the right of me, I look, and to my shock, horror, and amazement, there is a huge mosque. Brand new, beautifully built, well laid out and designed. You could tell that it was well thought out and planned. And directly across the street was a small little Baptist church. To say that I was shocked was an understatement. In fact, if the truth were to be known, I nearly drove off the road. I said, "What is that doing here?" My wife calmly said, "Well, obviously there's Muslims here, Todd." I think she could sense my irritation. Later, as we sat down to dinner, Angela's cousin pulled a chair up next to me, and it was my second time having a conversation with her. I don't know her very well, but we'd connected last time, and I knew that her church was going through some struggles and that she was on the pulpit committee who was trying to call a new pastor to this church. And I looked at her and I said, "Hey, how's that going?" Sort of trying to make some conversation. And she looked up at me and her eyes were filled with tears and she said, "Not good." And she began to share with me how their church, which had once run well in excess of 300 people, beautiful location, beautiful facilities, had now dwindled to about a handful of 70 to 80 people who were all fighting and irritated with each other. How there was dissension and contention. She said, "I just can't believe it. When I signed up for this, I thought this would be a good thing." She said, "I'm ready to leave church now." She then told me something that after I'd already seen the mosque, I was already in a lather spiritually. And then she said these words to me. She said, "You know, here's the thing though, Todd." She said, "The thing of it is, it's not just our church." She said, "There are 12 Baptist churches in this area right now that are in the same situation that are seeking a pastor. Because of the location of the little Baptist church that we had just passed in the mosque, I asked Angela's uncle, I said, "Hey, do you have a lot of people going to that Baptist church?" He looked at me, he said, "Are you kidding me?" I went home, "Fool," he said, "it's jam-packed every week." I went home that night, I was so upset. And I'm thinking to myself, here we sit in America, the center of where the gospel's to be sent out now, supposedly. And while churches sit and quibble and fight and bicker, the false religions are thriving. I laid in bed that night, and I prayed for Faith Baptist Church. I was so disturbed at what I had seen. I had read about it. I had referenced it. I had talked about it. I've sat in meetings. I'm on a board that this is what we talk about. But I'd never actually seen the reality of it. And I think God actually did me a blessing by letting me see that. The visual that God gave me is what is happening around our country and has now been reinforced within me. It is the importance, I think, today that we understand that we are going to need to continue to seek God for His blessing and favor. God is not just going to bless a church by accident. Did you know that? We have to stay committed and obedient for His glory. We have to remember to pray for churches that have lost their way. And while we here today sit back and bask in all that God has done and the greatness of who He is and everything that is happening here in our church, we need to remember that that is not happening everywhere, church. We cannot afford to sit back and get idle. The hard truth is that many of our churches around the country are dying and closing their doors. This is not a new problem. You might think, well, this is something unique to our country. This is something unique to America. It is not. Study what happened to many of the churches that were started in the New Testament. If you were here when I did the series on the seven churches, you know what happened. Many of these churches that were once thriving, we're talking about churches whose pastor was the Apostle Paul. Shut, closed, dwindled, fought amongst each other, and died or were decimated. While no church is immune from problems, we have no real plan. Understand is this, friends. It's hard for God to work in a church whose people have no real plans of following His blueprint and obeying His will. And to that I would say, let's not make it hard for God to work here at Faith Baptist Church. Amen? It's hard for God. It's not that He can't. It's not that it's impossible. It's hard when people are unwilling to respond and follow and say, I'm going to obey and I want to be a part of this. This is why we're looking at these principles today. This is why we go to the text. This is why we study the Word. This is why we have vision. We study the Scriptures individually and corporately with the idea and with the intent of obeying what we read and learn. And that's why I will tell us this morning, God's Word never really affects you fully until you start obeying it faithfully. God's Word never really, you might sit in here and you might get hit with the Scriptures, you might hear the Gospel, you might hear the Word of God, and it might go, wow, that kind of impacted me, but it never ever really affects you fully to the fullest extent until there's faithful obedience. When we read in Acts, as we did 2 weeks ago, we see key elements that lay the foundation, the basics, if you will, for church life. And so today, because I know all of us are prone to forget, say amen to that. Let's refresh our memories. So if you're with me in Acts 2, would you say amen? Acts 2:41 says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And notice carefully now, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, notice verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all they that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Verse 46 now, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. How often were they doing this? And they're worshiping. And, all right, this is something that is happening. This is going on. And they're in accord. And they're in the temple. And they're worshiping. And they're breaking bread from house to house. And they're eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In verse 47, they're praising God. You get the sense that these were happy people. Amen. And they were having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to the church daily those that were being saved. 2 weeks ago, what we realized were three important truths. Number one, that we must, first of all, study God's Word together. Now, don't try to write this in your handout because it's not there. If you were here 2 weeks ago, it was in your handout. This is a refresher, okay? So if some of you just filled in that first blank and you're going, this doesn't match, you're right, it doesn't, okay? 2 weeks ago, we realized the importance. Look at the text, that they study doctrine. that they grew together, that they understood God's word and his purpose. This is what they were doing. This is what a church is to do. A church isn't supposed to get together and huddle up in a little classroom and try to plan a little trip together and then walk out and nothing ever changes. We are to get together, study the word of God, let it change our lives, and take the gospel to lost and dying people. Amen? That's what we do. We study the word together. This is a pillar of the church. A church that studies together has the tendency to stick together. All right? We want to study the word of God together. Number two, we learned this. Don't try to write this down either. Okay? Now, if you want to write it down, you can, but don't try to put it in the blank. It's not going to fit. All right? Share our life with one another. We learned this. We talked about this 2 weeks ago when it says they were fellowshipping and breaking bread and getting together. And I'm going to talk more about this in just a few minutes. But I gave us three key principles that should undergird this pillar, if you will. Let's look at them together. If you remember, we talked about, first of all, an essentials unity. Say it together. Ready? An essentials unity. On the doctrinal core principles of the word, there is unity. There is unity. But here's the second thing. In non-essentials, liberty. Say it with me. In non-essentials, liberty. This is what we learned 2 weeks ago. There's preferences. There's non-essentials that we're not going to quibble and fight about. People will, doesn't make you right. Some people will have a different take or view on things. It's not sinful. It doesn't make them wrong. Doesn't make you right. It just means that if it's not an essential, we just exercise a little grace. Would you say amen to that? And then, number three, in all things, charity. Say it with me. In all things, charity. So at the top, here we go. Ready? Here, say it with me. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. And I shared with you this very important principle, that the fields are wide unto harvest, and that a harvester has a sickle, and he must go to the fields, and he must bring in the harvest. And I gave you this quote, which said this, that if we use our sickles on each other, we will miss the harvest. If we use our sickles on each other, we will miss the harvest. And so if we are sharing our life through fellowship, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, which I'm going to speak to a little more clearly in just a moment, and we are worshiping together and we are growing together through discipleship, then number three, we must remember also, the third pillar was this, that we must seek God through prayer. This is what they were doing. There's a pattern of prayer. The young early church was birthed in the upper room with 120 people out of a prayer meeting. And a church that is on mission with God's purposes will be a church that prays and experiences God's presence and God's power. I reminded us 2 weeks ago of the little church in Thessalonica, the small little poor little church that perhaps is the greatest example of everything that God wants a church to be. And I read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, when Paul reminded the church and said these words, that from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Meaning the gospel had completely not only penetrated, but saturated that entire area. And I made us understand, to the best of my ability, that the word sounded meant echo. To reverberate. And I ask us this question, what will the community, what will our legacy be? Can people hear the gospel coming from our lives? And so we closed 2 weeks ago, and I asked us to commit to three things. Number one, I will commit to study God's word. You remember that 2 weeks ago? We're going to study together. We're going to study individually. How's that been looking the last 2 weeks? Are you sticking with your going to read the Bible through in a year plan? All right. Are you doing it? Are you staying faithful? Are you staying faithful to Sunday school, life groups, staying faithful to the word? Number two, I will commit to sharing my life with others. I'm going to fellowship more. I'm going to reach out more. I'm going to connect more. I'm not going to shake hands with the same five people every Sunday. All right. I'm going to live on the edge and go to the left side of the auditorium. Okay. You can do it. Amen. I'm going to fellowship more. I'm going to share. I'm going to get vulnerable. I'm going to drop my guard. I'm going to get some accountability in my life this year, all right? And then lastly, there was a call to prayer at the end of the service, which said this, I will commit to seeking God in prayer. And I invited us all to come to the altar. Do you remember that 2 weeks ago? We gathered down here. We started the year off saying, as a church, we want to be a praying church. And so as we continue in the work of the Lord, it's vital we stay close and we stay clean, that we stay right with each other, that we commit ourselves to the work that God has for us. Today, I will, by God's grace, attempt to do what I call a little bit of vision casting for us now. As I mentioned, this will be a very different service. Some very important things I want to share with us this morning. Things that are on my heart and have been on my heart. Having a vision is vital. Without a vision, a church becomes directionless. And without leaders to clarify the vision, a church becomes motionless. Here this last week, our staff, we meet once a year, all of our staff, the pastoral staff and the administrative staff, we have a time where we share and we have our goals and planning. And at the top of each and every one of the sheets that they're to fill in with their goals and their planning, there's a verse out of talking about it, but Nahum. Sort of an obscure book in the Bible. You don't hear a lot of talking about it, but there's a verse in Nahum chapter 2, and God told the prophet Nahum, he said these words, "Write the vision, make it clear. Make it understandable. Put it in the ears, hearts, minds, souls of the people so they understand what it is." As your pastor, my heart is to not push an agenda. I don't have an agenda. I want you to know something. I have one agenda, and it's right out of this book right here, okay? I've had people say to me, "Hey, tell me all the..." I had one pastor call me not too long ago. He said, "Hey, can you write everything down for me and send it to me in an email? All the things you're doing that have worked." I said, "Yeah." I said, "In fact, I don't even need to send it to you in an email." He said, "You don't?" I said, "No." I said, "But I think you have it." He goes, "I do? When did you give it to me?" I said, "It's called the Bible, all right? It's just called the Scriptures, man. That's it." You say, "What are you working? What are you planning?" That's it. This is all we got. Amen. Here's the good news. It's all we need. That's it. God's like, "Here, here's everything you ever need right here." Boom. We're like, "I don't know if I want to read that." Are you kidding me? "I don't know if I want to spend any time in it." Really? This is the blueprint for everything. This is how we're supposed to guide our life with this book right here. I'm not here to push an agenda today. I want you to know that God has a vision for this church. It's founded on the Scriptures. Every church is unique. No two churches will be the same. But leaders are to cast a vision. Our pastoral staff has worked on these seven things that I'm about to share with you today. This is a three-year strategy that we want to lay out to you this morning. Our leadership team has seen the vision. And over the next 3 years, I want us to share in what's about to happen. I want to see the direction over the next 3 years. Some of the things I share with you today are not going to happen next week. Don't walk in and say, "Hey, remember last week you said that? How come that hasn't happened?" How many years are we looking? Three. This is a three-year strategic plan. How many of you have ever made a plan and God's like, "Yeah, you're not doing that"? Okay? All right. We want to be flexible. Some of the things we've laid out, we realize, hey, principles that we God's plan, but we believe this is the vision God has for us. We want to keep these three principles that we've laid down already this morning, all right? Those three things that we talked about 2 weeks ago. That's our focus. But these seven main areas are going to be where we cast vision and where we see our church growing and where we see our church headed. So if you're ready to write in your handout now, say amen, all right? So let me write these down, where every aspect of ministry from Faith Baptist Church is going to come from. Now, I want you to know something. These are listed 1 through 7. You say, why? Because we couldn't go 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, okay? They're all equally important, all right? We don't have number 7 at the bottom because that's, you know, lesser importance. They're all equally important, okay? So we couldn't just go 1, 1, 1. They're just listed this way. So we're going to start with the first one, which is worship. Worship. This year, next year, and the following year, over the next 3 years, our goal under worship, okay, is this, write this down, is to inspire people to develop a heart for God. That's our goal as pastors, as leaders, as a church. We want to be a worshiping church. One theologian described worship this way: it is the reverential human act of submission and homage before the divine sovereign in response to his gracious revelation of himself and in accordance to his will. Our desire is that we want to be a worshiping church. Amen? We want to intensify and enhance our worship. We desire that when guests come through the doors of this church, and that when lost people enter in to the walls of this church, whether they're on the inside or on the outside, they can sense the presence of God and they can hear the people worshiping joyfully. Amen? So that they might scratch their head and say these words, "What in the world are they singing about? And why are they singing so loudly and so enthusiastically and so reverently? Why would anybody have anything to sing about in this world?" Well, come in and meet the God of wonders. Amen? I'll be doing a series over the next 3 years on worship. We're going to be working toward having a seminar and conference on worship. not only on worship, but on music. Many of you have said, are we going to hire a new music person this year? Let me help you here in place. Answer, no. All right? Here's what we've discovered. God's put some incredible people already here in place. Amen? Amen. We can give them a hand. They do a great job. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to develop our music ministry to a greater degree. We're going to bring in some other people who can help us from the outside. We want to equip them who already serve in this capacity. We want to continue to see those on the platform involved and trained and equipped. And then we just want to say this. We want our church to be a place where God gets all of the glory as we worship Him. We don't need a professional or a showman. We don't need a performer. We need someone, as one wise person said, like a tour guide, lead us to the mountain and then get out of the way and let us see God. Amen? All right? So worship. We want to inspire the hearts of people. All right? Number two, evangelism. All right? Evangelism. And some of you in here are like, that should have been first. I know. Remember? One. Okay? Evangelism. We want to see our church continue to accelerate in this area. And you can write this, to ignite a passion within to share our faith. Some of us, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we are cold when it comes to the souls of lost men and women. We are indifferent to reaching people. We think that because we invited someone to church, we evangelized them. You did not. That is not what evangelism is. We want to make the Great Commission as it pertains to evangelism and discipleship come alive greater in the next 3 years. We are working hard right now toward a comprehensive evangelistic strategy that's going to involve, are you ready? Every member, say every. Every member being a part of this. We want to provide opportunities through various outreach events, 1-1-1 events. We're going to have some things here we're working on called Family Days. This year, coming, we're going to have Friendship Sunday. We're going to spend a lot of time on this year. We plan on making this a very big day. We're going to have, I'm going to have to say it. I don't know any other way to say it. How many of you are from the South? Can I see your hands? We're going to have dinner on the grounds. Is that how you say that? We're going to have dinner on the ground. All right. What I would say is we're going to have lunch after church. All right. But someone's there, we're going to have dinner on the grounds. The first time I heard that, I thought, well, do we eat our food off the floor, or is that because we're holier that way? And I don't know, but we're going to have service. We're going to have a musical group here with us called This Hope. I think we have a picture of them. Pastor Micah was able to connect with them a few years ago. We went to the Moody Pastors Conference. I've had a chance to meet all of these guys. You're going to love them. They sing a wonderful blended mix of music. I think you'll love their hearts. They're family men. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the guys' name is Micah, and he connected with Micah, and it was kind of neat. So they're going to be here with us, God willing, during our Friendship Sunday. We're going to have one semester of, how many of you know when I say the faith program, okay? We're going to have one semester of that this year. Normally we do two, but instead what we're going to do is we're going to do one semester this year, and we're going to do it actually on a Sunday night. And that's going to open up a lot more opportunities for people to go and be trained. In the spring, we're going to have a few outreach Saturdays where we're going to go back out into the community. And here's the goal. I met with Pastor Micah this week, and as I mentioned, all of our staff, we have currently, by the springtime, we will have what we call 150 live visits. Now, if you look in your annual report, I think it's, let me see here. You can just start turning there until I find it. Oh, here we go. It's on page 5. 340 first-time guests came through the doors of our church. Amen? So that's a lot of follow-up. And in the spring, we're going to have two very special days. We're probably going to put a really cool name with it, but we're going to go out and we're going to revisit all of these people. And on these days, we're looking to see 100 members of Faith Baptist Church come and commit to going out, go back out, and reconnect with those who have already visited. We want to continue to impact our community through various events with the campaign that we're going to call this over the next 3 years, Living and Loving Loud. We want to get into the community through our school systems. We're working on a plan with that. We're working with another church who's already done it. Local community, many of you hearing from them and trying to come alongside and say, okay, how did you do that? We want to help in the local community. Many of you probably have some great ideas and say, hey, Pastor, here's a great idea. We're open to that. We want to be more effective in a meaningful way in reaching our community. Number three, over the next 3 years, we plan to number three, discipleship. Discipleship. And some of you are like, should have been number one. I know. They're all number one, okay? So here's the point on discipleship. We want to instruct believers to be and make disciples for Jesus Christ. My heart's desire is that over the next 3 years, we will have a church that is living obediently to Christ in the area of discipleship. Here's the point, church. We can have our music right, we can have our buildings right, we can have our Sunday schools right, we can have our life group right. But let me tell you what, if we don't have discipleship right, it isn't going to matter. You want to know why those Muslim churches are springing up? You want to know why that mosque is there? You want to know why they're the fastest growing religion? Let me tell you something, because they have discipleship all figured out. They have discipleship all figured out. We don't want to be a really nice church, but lives disobediently to Jesus Christ. We want to be obedient. We want every single member in some way involved in discipleship. Right now, we have what we call 38 active discipling relationships. Now, that's pretty awesome considering that a year ago, we didn't have any to speak of. So we've gone from zero. Last year at this time, I was right in the middle of a brand new series on discipleship. And we launched from there, and we are now currently seeing 38, and that number is growing, of active discipling relationships. As a church, understand there's two sides to the coin. One side's evangelism. Guess what's on the other side? All right, one side's what? What's on the other side? Discipleship, okay? We've all been called to make disciples. And that means being, number one, discipled, and number two, it means discipling others. I also want to take a moment and publicly thank Todd Warrow, who's right over here. Can we thank him for the great job he's done this year? Todd's been a huge help to me in so many areas of discipleship. He's on his organization and just giving himself to this. Currently, he and I are working on some future plans, as well as the pastoral staff, on developing a phase 3 and a phase 4 of discipleship. One of those phases will involve training people on how to counsel people and work with people. And there's even a greater vision that I won't share with you now, because some of you will be like, Pastor, you've lost your mind. And that's okay. I won't share that with you right now. But there's some great things ahead. Number four, leadership. Leadership. Churches need good leadership. Say amen to that. Leadership. And so what does that look like? Here's what we mean. To invest in both current and future leaders. To invest in both current and future leaders. The past few years of ministry here at Faith to me have been wonderful. And I have served alongside some great men. And these men have served internally. And the reality is it's their time to step down and let some new men step up. And so this spring, I will be presenting as a pastor, and along with the encouragement and blessings of the other pastoral staff and current men who serve on our board, we'll be presenting some new men for the position of deacons and trustees. I have several men who've already accepted and said yes that they will. And so I'm working with a few other guys, praying with them. And then we're going to do one training session after that. Should those men continue to agree, we will bring them to the church for approval and begin to put them into office and watch God use them in a mighty way. Amen. And so we're looking forward to that. We plan to make deeper investments into our leaders with conferences, training, and continued meetings. Number five, fellowship. Fellowship. What does it mean to fellowship? Well, notice this. To involve others by connecting them to one another. To involve others by connecting them to one another. We will be placing greater emphasis in several areas of our church. One of those is on teaching and training and helping our life groups and our Sunday school classes develop and grow. Here's what we want fellowship to be. We want it to be more than a smile, a handshake, and a cup of coffee at the church fellowship. All right? Most of us are like, hey, we're going to go to the church. And most of us, when we go to the church to fellowship, right? And get a piece of cake, have a shake, and out you go, right? And how was that? Boy, I had great fellowship tonight, man. Did you? Okay? Fellowship is so much more than that. Say amen. Okay? It's way more than that. We're going to be starting a new ministry here. Met with this man and appreciate him, love him, Brother Dave Arvey. He and I talked about this, and I've asked Brother Dave Arvey to lead a prayer team. And we're talking now about an opportunity where some of you will be able to pray specifically and strategically at certain times, at special times, some during the service while service is actually going on, some showing up before church over special things that we're going to be having, special events. I want the prayer team to be praying. Not that these people are special prayer warriors. Everybody will get a chance, if you want to be involved in this. We'll talk more about this as we get closer to it. I've also asked Dave at periodic times throughout the year to teach a 6 or 8 8-week class on prayer, and he's agreed to do that. What a nice guy, amen? So I've talked to Dave about that. We're excited, looking forward to how God's going to do that. But when we talk about prayer, we know something. We know that nothing great is ever accomplished apart from prayer. We can have everything that we need to be successful, but if we don't have the power of prayer and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we're going to turn into utter failures. We want to seek God this year more than ever. I committed myself to my staff on Friday afternoon. I read to them a passage out of Samuel, where Samuel told the nation of Israel, "But God forbid that I would sin in seeking to pray for you." And I know this, God's power will rest on a praying church. It's not a secret. And it's not that we go to God and say, "Okay, Lord, we're praying, you better give us the power." No, that's not the essence of it. I want something to happen in my heart. It's called revival. It's called renewal. God has opened a unique opportunity for me to connect with a ministry called Life Action last week. I've had a chance to connect with one of their key staff members. He and I were on the phone last week. And I'm looking next year and planning now to have what I call a 4-day renewal and revival conference of seeking God for 4 days. Here's what happens. Life Action Ministries comes to the church and really they take over. It's 4 days of their ministry team here. They will teach all of the Sunday school classes. They will do all of the music. They will do all of the preaching so that all of us can be under the preaching, teaching, and leading of God's Word. It'll give our Sunday school teachers a chance to come out and sit, our nursery workers a chance to come out. Amen. It'll give everyone a chance to come in. Watch this little video. I think you'll get a better vision for what I'm saying. This will be something that our church will host probably in the new year at some point. We may have them back again. I'm excited about this. There's several videos as we get closer that I want to show you. In fact, one of the staff members that I connected with, his name is Lane Gordon. His video is one that I want to show you. And it's the story of how he and his wife were on the brink of divorce. And how he was still serving in a church. And when Life Action came, how God completely broke both of their hearts, restored them, united them, and now he is on full-time staff with them in ministry. Amen? And so this is going to be a great thing. I'm excited about this, looking forward to this. And then number 6, our favorite topic, giving. I knew it was coming. You were just waiting for me to get to this, weren't you? You were just waiting. You're like, I knew it was coming. There was no way we couldn't get out of here without him talking about money. How's that going to work? Again, should have been at the top, right? Right? Giving. What's that look like? Here we go. To increase our generosity by improving financial stewardship. Let me say this. We are never more like God than when we give. Did you know that? And our giving is good. When you look at our financial report, you look at the giving and what God has done over the years. Yes, it's good, but it's not as good as it could be. I have a news flash for you. Did you know that as our church grows, so does the demand for finances? Shock, right? As our church gets bigger, so do the needs. You know, the electric company never calls us up and says, "You guys are growing over there. How about a 30% discount?" That never happens. All right? They don't look at the facility and go, "Oh, it'll be fine." In fact, the opposite has happened. Since we've moved into here, we've had more things that we've had to fix and do and deal with. I mean, so many unforeseen curveballs, and God has provided, but we want to be a giving church, a generous church, so that we can meet the needs of the ever-expanding ministry and be able to do more for the kingdom. I want you to know something. There are a lot of projects ahead. Everybody say it's not done yet again. It's not done yet, all right? It's not done yet. There's a lot of projects ahead. So you're like, well, what? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. landscaping. I'm just going to name a few, all right? Landscaping, sound system upgrade, church sign, kitchen remodel, a mission kiosk where I want to have some screens, two predominant screens where you will be able to come to church and you can send an email right there to the missionary. We've got some great things that we want to do to enhance our outreach to missions. We want to widen our sidewalks. We want to put some new flooring in the front building. I should probably stop now. There's a long list, okay? There's a lot to be done, okay? Pastor Mike is like, keep going, keep going, keep going, all right? There's a long list. It is not done yet. And in the future, all right, we need to give faithfully, sacrificially, and graciously, not only to help our church, okay? We don't just want to say, look at this beautiful building. God's not impressed on inside of our building, but what he is concerned with is what's going on inside of our building. And that what goes on inside of our building is replicated outside of the building, all right? And so we want to realize that as a church, we want to keep growing in the area of finances so that we can continue to see our missions, which is number 7, you can write that down, our missions continue to grow. We want to keep supporting current and new missionaries. We want to be a sending church. We want to do 2 things. We want to develop people in the ministry, and we want to deploy them into the ministry. Amen? And so as we talk about missions, okay, understand this. We want to impact our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to impact our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you can turn there if you want. Just a one chapter back from where you were in Acts 2. It says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Now, here's what I want you to key in on. These are called the kinetic circles of evangelism, all right? Watch how this happens. Watch how this grows, this reverberating circle that comes out of this. In Jerusalem, where's the next place? Judea, and where's the next place? And where's the next place? Do you guys see how that works? Okay? So if you're taking copious notes this morning, you might want to write these words down. Community. Community. When we talk about being a mission-minded church, we don't just want to pay missionaries to go to the field. We want to be missionaries at home. Amen? So we want to be reaching our community for Christ. You might want to write this word down. Number 2, our country. Okay? Our country. I want you to know that America still needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? She still needs the gospel. This community, this county still needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are still people to reach. Last time I checked, within a 15-mile radius, there's 350,000 people living within the front door of our church. Here's what I know. They ain't all saved. Amen? You could build 100 people still running 1,000 each, and we still wouldn't reach everybody with the gospel of Jesus Christ in this area. People still need the gospel. Amen? And then you'll notice the next word, which is the continent. You can see here how the gospel just spread. It just went right out from Jerusalem. And that's the kind of church we want to be. We want to see these kinetic evangelistic circles ever widening. And so in order to help us do that, we don't just want to have missions at home. We want to have missions globally. We plan on taking regular missions trips. In fact, tonight, commercial break, Brother Gerald Ziemer is going to be here. He's our missionary to Romania. He's going to be meeting with those of you wanting to go to Romania after church. I know the meeting will be quick because there's a Brownie Sunday fundraiser for the teens, all right? But I want to invite you to be a part of this mission journey that our church is going to be on over the next 3 years. We want to continue to enhance and expand our missions emphasis month. We want to bring greater awareness to the global and local need of the gospel. Well, the clock has beat me to the rest. And so, unfortunately, I didn't really get to preach to you today. That's okay. I've saved up for next week, all right? We'll be starting a brand new series. Some of you say, what is it? You ever felt like you've been in a cave? You ever felt like you've been in a pit? Like you've been in prison? Well, I want to share over the next several weeks what happens when you find yourself in a cave. How do you meet God at a dead end? When you're in prison, and you feel like you can't get out and you got no hope. Why did God put you there? We're going to look at men like Elijah and Joseph and Daniel and David, just to name a few of some of the men who found themselves in a cave. What I want us to understand as a church this morning is that there is still work to be done. That God has always been looking for a people who will obey him. Church, I say this to you as I close, that we as Faith Baptist Church have been so blessed by God. Amen. I believe that God is tapping us for greater things, and my prayer is that we would be faithful in carrying out and accomplishing our mission.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.